Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church on this glorious and very special Sunday, for we will be commissioning Marjorie Davison to be our parish associate this morning. And as we don't do that commissioning, the Presbytery of Santa Fe does it, and so we have a commission who are commissioned to do the commissioning. Only Presbyterians could do it this way. And I want to introduce that commission to you. Their names are in the bulletin, but we have Jaime Quinones, and we have Kay Huggins, who some I think you know, and we have Anna Creamer. We have Mike Thayer. And then we have Brian Beck, who is the moderator-elect and the head of the commission. And we want to extend a special welcome to all of you this day. We want to also extend a special welcome if you're worshiping with us for the first time. And we certainly are happy to have you here and invite you that following worship, come in and have some special refreshments. I hear there's cake following the service so that we can get better acquainted. If you haven't already, now is the time to pick up the maroon folders that are on the center aisle. Fill it out, pass it to your neighbor. When it gets to the end of the row, pass it back and note names so you can greet folks following the service this morning. The one announcement I have before we go to the minute for mission is the cell phone tutorials. Hopefully, if you've signed up, you go to classroom A and B. I guess you can get your cake first. And go to classroom A and B, and there will be a team of folks there to hopefully help you clarify your questions about using your smartphone. And now we have a minute for mission.
Hey, have we got something new this year?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
we have something new. Here's what's new. You all know we have the Scholars Potluck, right? You all remember that. We all have a great time doing that. But this year, in 2017, we have something new. We not only have the Scholars Potluck, but you get to sing and eat. Okay? Because...
And listen to great Caribbean music.
Right. And we're actually going to move the piano in there. I got to see this. That's going to be interesting. But next Sunday, right after church, Scholars Potluck and Hymn Fest. And that's under the control of the N team, Nancy and Nathan. So it's going to be wonderful. You know that. Okay?
So, yes, thank you in advance to Nancy and Nathan for helping pull together a spring Sing Fest as well as our potluck. It's time to get out your Mexican and Cuban and Northern New Mexico recipes, and next week, bring them. Yes, make lots. You have to use a spoon of this size to make your recipe. I already have my paella pan ready to roll. And sign up in the narthex to let us know you're coming so we can prepare properly. Most of you will remember we started this potluck several years ago as the Mexican Scholars Luncheon. Our church values education, and we support students from a rural community near Juarez. You heard about the scholarships of grace for our own church youth last week. And we also support a Cuban seminarian. And now we call the potluck SSOS. Sing, support our scholars. It's not save our scholars, it's support our scholars. And so please plan to come, bring friends, bring your kids, bring your grandkids. It's going to be a wonderful event after church next Sunday.
I just have one thing to say. You know we're Presbyterian because we not only ask you to donate money, but you have to bring the food, okay?
told you to bring everything, but I'll tell you to bring your checkbook to support our scholars. The grace and peace, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you.
And also with you.
Greet one another with signs of God's peace. Peace be with you, Dorothy. Peace be with you, Glenda. Peace be with you, dear.
If you are able, and join me in the call to worship. Come and see the ambassador of God's extravagant grace.
We will find Jesus waiting to meet us in classrooms, at a shopping center, in all common places and
Come and hear the one who speaks of God's joy in us. Come and know how much God loves you.
We will discover Jesus, who offers us the gift of reconciliation.
Our opening hymn is Come Worship God, number 386, in Glory to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Walking the dog, reading a bedtime story, recycling newspapers, in every moment, in every place, God is there. Let us confess now how often we do not see God in our lives, especially in how we live them. Join me as we pray together and silently. God of eternity, you know how often we travel down the rocky roads of doubt and fear. We pester others with our worries. We hurl bitter words at those we love. We have chances to offer ourselves in service, but only give our contempt to those in need. We could share the living waters with the world, but want to store it in jars for safekeeping. Fountain of grace, you turn towards us to meet us wherever we are. You break open our rock-hard sin so we might be made whole. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our thirst for hope and joy is quenched. God does not disappoint us. Our sins are forgiven. Our lives are made whole. We are sent forth to serve.
In Jesus Christ, living water rivers through the roof of our hearts. In such abundance that we don't have enough buckets to hold all. Thank you, God. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Like the woman at the well, may we receive the teachings of Jesus in spirit and in truth. Draw us to great faithfulness through the proclaiming of your good news. Amen. Our reading today from the Psalter is Psalm 95, and if you think back about 3 minutes ago, you'll know you sang a hymn that says these very words. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The height of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, or on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger, I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Here's the reading of the psalm.
Thank you. Never thirst. This piece is about if we drink from God's water, then we'll have eternal life.
Good morning. This is Inside at the Linton Studio, and I'm your host, James Lipton. We are continuing with our Linton series, exploring the life of Jesus of Nazareth from the viewpoint of people who knew him during his ministry. Today we have with us a woman who had an unexpected encounter with Jesus. And like so many encounters, it was fleeting to the point that she was never successfully identified. We will call her Sarah. Sarah, tell me, where do you call home? What country are you from?
I've lived all my life in the Samaritan village of Sychar. You may know it better as Shechem, the oldest sacred place in Palestine.
Oh, yes. One of Jesus' most beloved parables is about a Samaritan. You must be very proud of your heritage.
Well, you know, that is always a puzzling aspect to Jesus' teaching. Why should he have something so positive to say about our people? Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. And yet, he spoke to me.
Oh, now we're getting to the gist of your personal story. Won't you please start from the beginning? Just how and where did you encounter this man?
You know, one of any woman's daily tasks is to draw water from the town well for drinking and cooking. On this day, as I approached the well, Jacob's well, you may have heard of it, I saw a foreigner standing there. I recognized him by his dress as a Jew, although at the time, I didn't know who he was. Because of the distrust between our two peoples, I hoped that I could go about my business without any trouble. But as I began to draw the water, he spoke to me, saying that he was thirsty and asking if I would give him a drink. Now, getting political, I asked why he would condescend to ask a Samaritan, and a woman no less, of any favor. But instead of answering in a like tone of voice, he said gently, "If you knew who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water."
That was a popular analogy that he used often in his ministry, the water of life. Did you understand what he meant?
No. I took the stranger literally. And pointing to the deep well in front of us, I asked him how he planned to retrieve any water without the end of a bucket. But he continued speaking in riddles. And pointing to the well, and he said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." Well, I was beginning to get intrigued, but when I asked him for this water so that I would never be thirsty again, he said the strangest thing. He said, "Go home and get your husband." Well, yeah, because I'm not married. Well, currently. And I wasn't about to tell that to a complete stranger, but he already knew that. And he knew that I've had 5 husbands in the past. And he knew that I'm currently living with a man who is... Well, he's my boyfriend. How he knew that, it was spooky.
Well, I call that an oops.
That really doesn't sound very friendly. To say something that would embarrass anyone.
Oh, no. Before I could be embarrassed, he quickly added that he was proud of me for telling the truth. That the way I lived was what counted before God. He said that that was the kind of people the Father was out looking for. What were his exact words? Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I didn't want to engage the stranger in a philosophical debate, so I answered, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And I started to walk away, but his next remark almost made me drop my pitcher. This was when I discovered his true identity. He told me that he was the Messiah. Well, this was the most wonderful news that I could have ever imagined. So I ran back to the village and told everyone. I've been talking to a man who seems to know me inside and out, everything I've ever done. I'm sure that he's the Messiah. And they all followed me back to the well to see for themselves. And Jesus was still there, as though he was expecting the large crowd I had brought back.
Now that could have turned into another Sermon on the Mount. And how did the fellow townspeople react to Jesus' teaching?
They loved him. Some committed themselves to him on the spot, based on my testimony alone. Wanting to hear more of his teachings, they asked him to stay in our village. No, they insisted he stay and spend time with us. A Jew in Samaria! So he stayed for 2 whole days. Many of them entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. When he left us, my friends told me that they weren't just taking my word for it anymore. Now they had heard it for themselves, and they knew that he was the Savior of the world. Water.
Boys and girls, if you'd like to come up. This week there has been some drama in my office. As you know, Jesus stays in my office and he has some friends. You've met the 2 sheep and the monkey. Well, this week we had a new person come. Do you know who this is? Yes, Grace. It's Eeyore. What do we know about Eeyore and his attitude? Anybody else? Allison? Pardon? He's always kind of sad and grumpy and not very enthusiastic about anything you want to do, does he? Well, they all wanted to go do things, and he kind of just sat there and went, meh, exactly, meh. And kind of said, well, thanks for noticing me. And the others said, well, we're just going to go off and have fun without you then. And they started to exclude him because he was different and kind of hard to get along with and kind of negative. Well, as you can guess, how do you think Jesus felt about that? Do you think Jesus liked that? No, he did not like that. So he said, well, you know what? Unless we all go, none of us go. You know how that made them feel. But he said, you know what? When you're in the church, it doesn't matter that you get along. Yes, Evan? Yeah? Okay. And it doesn't matter that you always get along or that you always want to do stuff together. You don't exclude people because, you know, maybe they are a little negative or down or they maybe irritate you or upset you or maybe even sometimes they hurt your feelings. But that doesn't mean we exclude people. We don't cut them out of the church. So we include everyone. You know, we just heard the story of a woman who any one of Jesus' people would never have spoken to, would never have gotten near, certainly wouldn't have touched, would not have taken a glass of water from. And what did Jesus do? Did he ignore her too? No. He talked to her, didn't he? And he treated her like a person. Not only that, but he drank a cup of water from her, and he didn't judge her, he loved her. And that's kind of how we're supposed to be. Not only with the cheerful, easy people, but with the Eeyores in the church. Because sometimes it's just not easy, but that's what we're called to do when we're part of the church. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to love those who are hard to love. And we all know in our hearts who those are. So help us with that. Help us to love the way Jesus loved the woman at the well. We pray in his name. Amen. See you guys later. You can use whatever makes you comfortable. And he's here to keep an eye on you. It is high noon, the hottest part of the day. Jesus, choosing to travel through Samaria, as most good Jews would go several miles out of their way to avoid going through the land of those they despised and considered pariahs, was weary and thirsty. And he comes to Jacob's well and is resting there when a Samaritan woman comes to the well. Now this is unusual, for most women come to the well in the cool of the morning or the evening, but not in the heat of the day. Only someone who did not want to encounter anyone else would come at noon. But here she is, and here is Jesus, a Samaritan woman, and Jesus. And from this, we get to eavesdrop on the longest recorded conversation that Jesus has with anyone. And from this encounter, we see how people can come to faith. For her, it was what Jesus knew about her. But more than that, it was that he did not judge or condemn her. He did not tell her to go and sin no more. It was his respect for her as a human being, someone worthy of extended conversation, worthy of teaching, with something to offer him as well, a cup of water. You see, he didn't just know about her, he knew her. And what does Jesus see? He sees a thirsty woman, a woman who thirsts for the living God, the God who knows her and loves her. Whatever her life has been with five husbands, and by the way, I just want to clear the record up, we have no idea how she gets to that point. We don't know if she'd been widowed or divorced, which in that day is something she would have had no control over. But now she lives with somebody who is not her husband, we're told. But we know that the town did not think much of her, since she collected her water when no one else was at the well. Jesus sees this woman, really sees her, and without regard for social or religious boundaries, takes time to teach her and bring her to faith, revealing to her who he is, something he didn't do with everyone, and that God loves her, and because she loves God in spirit and in truth, and worships God in spirit, and lives before God as who she is, truthful to her who she is. That is her path of faith, of living water and eternal life. Well, then we have the people in the town who insist that Jesus stay with them for a couple of days. And I can only imagine how unclean he and his disciples were by the time they all left Samaria. Living, eating, engaging with the people of Shechem. While the woman made the introductions through her own testimony of faith, it was his days of teaching and being with them and living among them that is their own experience of Jesus that brings them to faith. And we learn there is more than one path to faith. Now, all because the human Jesus was tired and thirsty and willing to see beyond the nationality, the religion, the reputation of a woman to ask her for a cup of water. We who live in the high desert understand thirst. We know how easily we can become dehydrated, and most of us carry water bottles with us all the time. Water is a valuable commodity in this part of the country. We fight over it. We politic over it. And it's because it's not abundant for us. And it's a source of life for all that lives in this arid land, people, animals, and plants. But we know, like bread, we cannot live, truly live, on water alone. Yes, our existence and our health depends on water. But our souls, the part of us that is made in the image of God, that part of us that gives us life abundant, the source of love and joy as well as pain and grief, water cannot quench that thirst in us. Jesus quickly saw that this woman was thirsting for far more than what could be drawn from that well, as do we. And that's what brings us here each week, because we, like the woman at the well, we thirst for that which will give life, not just to the body, but to the soul. We thirst for that which will sustain us when the world comes crashing in on us, when the pain and grief is unspeakable, when the future is unthinkable, but also that which will wash over us in times of undeserved love and grace, of joy so deep there are no words for it. Water that comes from the one who knows us, not just knows about us, although at times just knowing about us is bad enough, if we're honest, but knows us, knows what we're made of, what lies deep in our hearts, and loves us still. And that's the key part here. And loves us still. And that's why we're here. Because the water Jesus is offering is something that the world does not, cannot offer. And it's offered to all, friend or stranger. And that is what being the body of Christ is all about. One of my favorite theologians, and the day he dies will be a day of deep grief for me, but fortunately he's still writing and talking and working, Frederick Buechner. He compares the church at its most faithful to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I don't know what you know about them, but he talks about it being a group who are saying that they simply cannot live full human lives without each other and without, well, they don't always say God because some of them don't believe in God, what they call their higher power, which might be God if you're a believer. It might just be the power of that community. But miracles happen there. And Buechner writes, "I just can't help wondering to what degree this is perhaps what the church originally was meant to be. That is to say, if you went back to the earliest days of the Christian community, before there were these great buildings and programs and preachers and all the rest of it, I suspect you would find something like this. A little group of people coming together wherever they could and simply helping each other find a God who would help them become human beings. I think there's a good reason for that. Not only is it my feeling," he writes, "but I have a feeling there's also a good scholarly reason this is true." Well, something that impresses me so much about AA is that if you're an alcoholic or an addict and you find yourself having bad times anywhere in the world, all you have to do is look up AA in the directory or Google it. You will find a stranger, a member of that group, who's not really a stranger, who will come at any hour, day or night, to be with you. The question of challenge we have as the church is, if a Christian found themselves having hard times in a foreign port or a strange town, A, would they think of calling up a church and saying, "Come help me"? And B, would the church be prepared in any way to come and do whatever needed to be done? Now, I'm not going to answer that question. That's for you to ponder. But I am going to say that if the church would not be there to do such a thing, then you wonder what's so big about the big business of the church. Because at the core, we are all here in this place because we have come to know that we cannot live life abundant, that promise of Jesus, without each other and without God. And that's the truth of it. You know, we sometimes think that we can be a Christian without the church, and throughout my ministry, you know, whenever you're introduced at a party or in some secular setting and people say who you are or what you do, you usually get, you know, two responses. One is people who love Jesus just a little too much. And then you have people who don't go to church, and they feel the need to somehow justify that to you, like somehow I'm the great confessor, and they want to explain how they can be a Christian by themselves. They don't need the church. And I don't know how they can do that. I mean, I'd like to know that because it would save us all a whole lot of work. But I don't know how we can be Christian without the church. And I don't mean just showing up on Sunday, because you've all heard me say that being in the garage does not make you a car. Although, maybe by osmosis, just being in here, eventually something, you know, sticks. But I mean being connected, really connected, involved in the life and the community of the church. And if you want a faith that's growing, a deepening commitment to the life of a disciple, you must commit to the life of the church for the long haul. Good, bad, ugly. Why? Well, first and foremost, Jesus told you to do it, told me to do it, told us to do it. One of our central sacraments is communion, uniting with one another and Christ. His teachings were to be gathered to the gathered followers, not to individuals. Even the Lord's Prayer is meant to be prayed together. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus did not just leave one woman in Samaria to make her way by herself in the faith. He left a whole community of believers to make their way together. And in the church, we will learn the faith in real life. face it, people in the church, including me, will make you mad, will hurt your feelings, will get on your very last nerve. It's what people do, especially when we work together and we don't see things the same way. But it's right here in this place, a real life lesson in what's important and what isn't, and a growing edge to our commitment to the body of Christ before ourselves and our agenda. Not to mention, we have a front row seat to see that God do mighty things through this imperfect motley crew around us. And that reminds us that maybe, just maybe, God can do amazing stuff even through me. Now, these same folks who drive you nuts will also reveal aspects of the nature of God you've never even thought about, much less seen. They will inspire you, strengthen you, comfort you. They will stand with you when the rest of the world has moved on to the other news of the day. Like AA, these are the ones who will be God's presence in your darkest, weakest moments and will see you through it. And you will experience joy here, the joy of being loved and of loving without condition, the joy of lifting your voice in praise and thanksgiving with others, the joy of laughter and friendship and deep, significant sharing. Imagine having a good laugh and a hug with someone who last week hurt your feelings. That can only happen in the church, you know, because that's the power of grace, the glory of Jesus Christ at work. In the middle of Samaria, among people who did not worship in the same way he did, Jesus formed a community of believers who were already acting with mercy and love. For now, they were listening to the very woman who had met Jesus at the well in a time of day when she wouldn't encounter anybody, so she didn't have to talk to anybody. And they were talking with her and sharing the faith that would sustain them and allow them then to be the presence of God in that place. May we continue to follow in the footsteps of the people of Samaria. Amen. Please stand as your 61 in glory to God, woman in the night.
Marjorie's life, following Christ, and giving
Greetings to you.
There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
Therefore, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, making every effort to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as we were called to the one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Amen.
I just want to say, if you preach like that every Sunday, these people must be feel good every time they leave here. Thank you. That was a good sermon, guys. And the choir was wonderful. You know, it's really wonderful. Thank you. A reading from the Old Testament, Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard and on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which fall on the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. And here end the reading of the Old Testament, and to God be all honor, power, and glory, world without end. Amen and amen.
Good morning. I'm not going to say anything about the sermon. We are called by God to be the Church of Jesus Christ, a sign in the world today and of what God intends for all mankind.
The great ends of the Church are the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, and the promotion of social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world.
The call of Christ is to willing discipleship. Our discipleship is a manifestation of the new life we enter through baptism. Discipleship is both a gift and a commitment, an offering and a responsibility.
On behalf of the Presbytery of Santa Fe, I bring you greetings from your presbytery, from our presbytery. Marjorie, these are the constitutional questions to be asked for those to be installed and or ordained. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all, and Head of the Church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church, as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I
will. Will you be a faithful ruling elder in this commission, serving the people by proclaiming the good news, teaching faith, and caring for the people? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
These questions are for you. Do we, the members of the church, accept Marjorie Davidson as a commissioned parish associate, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree, excuse me, do we agree to pray for her, to encourage her, to respect her decisions, and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
At this time, I'd like to invite the members of the commission and any of our currently serving session members and the clerk to come up for laying on of hands and installation prayer. So you got to come out here so we got room to surround you. I got room over here if people really want to actually touch her. I got some room on an arm here. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, our hands on Marjorie are our prayer that the Holy Spirit will continue to rest upon her in this commissioned work you have given her. Use her gifts and graces, but also use those weaknesses that you gifted her with as well, that humanity that she exhibits, that we all do. Use all of her to serve to your glory and to strengthen the church. And we pray, O God, that as she works among us in this specific way, that she also will grow in her own faith, be strengthened for her life, and deepening the joy she has in you. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all God's people said,
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Charge. Marjorie Davidson, you were commissioned to service as a parish associate in this congregation. In all you do, in word and deed, do in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Amen.
As we come together in a spirit of prayer, I guess it's a joy that I don't have anything to share with you this morning. We're in a good place as a congregation. But I will open our prayer, leave a time for you all to lift your prayers silently or aloud to God, and then I'll close us and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the witness of the woman at the well and all those who have Jesus encountered, who through their own journeys found their way to faith. And we pray, O God, that together we might be that place where people come and living water is given, and that together we can support and care for one another as we care for the world. It is a world that is broken, O God, with poverty, with hostility, with anger, with terror, from the youngest to the oldest, O God. And yet, we see signs of your reign, signs of your grace. And it is our prayer that you would use us in whatever way you deem to be your hands and feet and heart and voice here in this community, in Rio Rancho, in our world, O God, that indeed that we might be the carriers of your reign on earth. And now, O God, hear the prayers that come up from each of us. Hear all our prayers, O God, gather them to your heart, and open our hearts and minds that we might receive the response that will call us to work with you. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Through Christ, we are called to be sowers of God's truth and reapers of God's blessings. Therefore, let us joyfully share a portion of what we have received from God, so those in need may rejoice with us. Thank you. Please stand if you are able. Prayer of dedication. We pray, gracious God, that our gifts may be provide nourishment to those who thirst for justice, strength to those who hunger for hope, a community to those living in loneliness. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. We have a hymn. I sing the mighty power of God, number 32, in Glory to God.
Just drunk deeply and fully from the well of Christ's living water. Now together we have something to give the world that the world cannot give itself. And so we go here confident that we have what people most thirst for, the love and grace of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the infinite love of our God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest with each of you this day and every day. Amen. Amen.